The Old Testament reading is taken from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. The Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with the strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. I just wanted to add a notice, if I may. There's a service of wholeness and healing at Thornborough Church on the 23rd of April. There are flyers at the back if you want to take one to invite others to come. But do please note it's in the notices. But there's also a flyer there for you to take to invite others to come along. I wonder if you've seen the film Jurassic Park. It's a film about dinosaurs being brought back to life using prehistoric DNA. Can it be done? Is this science fiction? Well, although theory suggests it is maybe just possible using mosquitoes, someone has worked out that DNA only lasts for about 6 million years, so probably not is the answer. However, there is more recent research that shows that it might just be possible using DNA from birds, but anyway, we don't know. Don't hold your breath, I'd say, and I'll be talking about breath later on. Let's pray as we come to look at the Valley of Dry Bones. Lord God, we thank you for all your that is in your word. Thank you for every part of it, some of which we don't understand. And we pray that as we look at perhaps a familiar passage this morning, you will open our ears to hear what you want to tell us. Not just to learn something, but to put it into practice, that it may go from mind to heart to will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today in our fairly short series on discipleship, we meet Ezekiel. If you've ever read the whole book of Ezekiel, it's weird. A lot of it is, anyway. Now, at this stage, Ezekiel is taken for a walk through a battlefield of long ago. This was indeed the Valley of the Shadow of Death. We don't know if this was a dream or a vision or whether he actually went or whether it happened. In one sense, perhaps it doesn't matter. But Ezekiel would have been horrified at what he saw for several reasons. There were so many bodies. Well, I say bodies. They were reduced to skeletons. They had never been buried, these bodies. Proper burial in those days was absolutely essential and very often very quickly after death, and still is. This is important both for the relatives and also for the deceased. To be deprived of burial was an insult. It was degrading. It was also considered to prolong suffering in the afterlife if you weren't buried. Only the truly cursed remained unburied after death. So the underlying message here is all about death, lots of it, and death under a curse. Here were not only victims of the battle, but victims of divine judgment. And then God asks Ezekiel a question. "Son of man, can these bones live again?" Well, what a silly question, you might say. How could they? Here was the biggest accumulation of dead bones that you've ever seen, picked clean by scavenging animals and birds. And God asks if these bones can live again. But in fact, Ezekiel gives rather a brilliant answer, which we might just miss if we don't read it carefully. Ezekiel throws the ball back into God's court and says, Lord Yahweh, only you know the answer to that. That's a good answer. It's not saying, don't be silly. It's not saying, I don't know. Lord, you know. That's always a good answer to give back to God sometimes. Lord, only you know the answer to that. And God told Ezekiel to prophesy, to preach to dead bones. True, God could have done all this himself. He could have brought these back to life on his own. He didn't need Ezekiel. But his plan so often is to involve us in his work, isn't it? His mission. Ezekiel, talk to these bones. Tell them to hear the word of the Lord. The sovereign Lord will make breath enter them again and bring them back to life. This is resurrection. And what did Ezekiel do? Well, every instinct in his body said, surely this is madness. This is impossible. This can't happen. This won't happen. But such was his faith in that amazing God that he started, perhaps a bit self-consciously, to talk to these bones, to prophesy to these long dead skeletons. No magic, no secret incantations, no conjuring tricks with bones, just the living power of the words of the living God. And you know what? If you can picture that next bit of what happened, it's either very good CGI or else God really is at work here, miraculously bringing the long dead back to life again. These bones began to rattle and come together to form bodies, to be covered in tendons and flesh and skin. Yet, they were just bodies at that stage. There was no life in them, no breath. Bodies anatomically complete, but without life. You can almost picture the vultures overhead waiting for a second helping. But God hadn't come all this distance and all this far to fail now. Prophesy to the winds, he said to Ezekiel. Bring the four winds to give breath to these bodies, these soldiers. Again, God could have done that himself, but he involved Ezekiel in his work. And Ezekiel prophesied to the winds to come from the four corners of the earth to bring breath to these soldiers. And it did. The bodies, the men stood up, a mighty army. What did all this mean? Was it real? Was it a dream? Well, we don't know. But Ezekiel got the message, and this was the message. This was a two-stage process, as you notice, incidentally. First of all, creating the body, but then, secondly, giving life and breath. And that mirrors the way God made man in the first place. God formed Adam out of the clay of the ground. In other words, we're all made out of the stuff that all creation is made out of. But then God, in this act of intimacy, tenderness, breathed life and breath into that body, into Adam, so that he became a living human being. So in Ezekiel's day, the breath went into the body, and only then did the army become alive again. God's breath brought life. A very short lesson in Hebrew here. I hesitate in this congregation to talk about Hebrew, but I'm not a scholar. I know some of you are. But this one Hebrew word, ruach, you may have heard from this pulpit before, I'm sure, before. It's used 10 times in this passage, this word ruach, and it has a variety of meanings. I'd skipped over the first few verses of the chapter, but the Bible talks about how Ezekiel was brought by the Spirit of God, the Ruach. The Spirit of God was brought to this valley. By the way, don't let anyone tell you that the Holy Spirit only came into being at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was there right from the beginning. Verse 2 of the entire Bible talks about the Spirit of God moving over the waters in the beginning. He was always there. Ruach is also the common word for breath, for breathing in and out. That's breath, that's ruach. I will make breath enter these bodies again in a kind of artificial respiration, I suppose. And we get some of this meaning from our word inspire, which can simply mean breathing in and out, like inhaling. inspiring, but also can mean to give inspiration to inspire in that sense, to give spirit to. It's all in this word, ruach. And further, the word means the wind. So when Ezekiel preached to the four winds to come, that was ruach again, to bring breath and life to these long dead bodies. And there's a subtext here, which is explained in the passage, a lesson to learn. Israel was in trouble. They were enslaved, they were in exile, they were miles from home, they were in Babylon. And they'd been there for 100 years. So all the generation who'd come had died out. And there was seemingly very little hope, no hope at all. And it had gone on so long that the nation probably, most of them, thought, this is what life's going to be. There is no hope, there's nothing we can go back to. Even Jerusalem was destroyed. So there wasn't even a city to go back to. So there was no hope for anyone. Well, almost no one. God then raised up this man, Ezekiel, and gave him this dramatic vision, this valley of dry bones. A vision that offered hope. If God could miraculously return this huge army from a pile of bones back to an army, what could he do for Israel? That's the message that God wanted, to bring hope to this nation. And Israelites would know, they were well taught, that their God, Yahweh, is Lord of life and death, God of the living and God of the dead. The nations around Israel would say, well, they have gods for the living things and gods for the suns and God for the moon and God for dead things, and they were different gods. No, Israel claimed that there is one God, God of the living and the dead, God of life and death. So this point is driven home to Ezekiel, because at the moment Israel is like a pile of dead bones, hopeless and helpless. Not much hope anywhere. In our New Testament story, Lazarus was also dead, and he'd been dead for 3 or 4 days, and there was not much hope there either. But beside his tomb stood the Lord, and the Lord who claimed, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Words you often hear at funerals. But then comes the faith question to Mary and to Martha. Do you believe this? What about you? Do you believe this? Can God do great things like that even today? John 11, where the passage is in the New Testament, tells us that Jesus weeps with Mary and then dramatically raises Lazarus to life again. No one actually expected that. Perhaps people should. Perhaps we are too timid. Even Christians are sometimes too timid in the way we pray, in the way we expect God to do things. Surely God can resurrect faith in someone. Maybe faith has died and a friend or a member of the family maybe believed years ago and now doesn't. Can God resurrect that faith in them? Yes. Can God resurrect hope where it's been dashed? Yes, he can. He can resurrect a church. He can resurrect a relationship. Resurrect a shattered dream. Don't underestimate God ever. When Sarah, Abraham and Sarah, when Sarah laughed at what she thought was a ridiculous idea that she'd have a baby when she was 99, God said, is anything too hard for God? And he later posed the same question to the prophet Jeremiah. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I think we lose sight of that too easily, and we're perhaps too timid in what we do. So in the Old Testament, we have a glimpse of God's great plan for humankind. There is hope. There is life after death. There is more to life than just this life. And resurrection, far from being limited to the New Testament narrative, is right here in Ezekiel. God wants the best for his people forever. He will not abandon them to the grave and to a long, slow night. And the pivot point of the whole story is Jesus himself, to be born as a man, to be one of us, no longer remote or distant, but here with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Sometimes we feel low and depressed, don't we? Even Christians, yes? It may be a consciousness of our own sin, of our own sinfulness. Maybe there's those opportunities we missed to speak to someone of our faith. We get dissatisfied with our own discipleship and we get low, not doing enough, not getting anywhere. That's okay. God understands that, I think. It's not uncommon. And I hope this story of Ezekiel and the dry bones gives us fresh hope. No matter how hopeless and useless sometimes we feel, God is there, God is active. God can give fresh hope to each of us. I'm going to end by reading a poem that I wrote some time ago, trying to contrast how we sometimes feel. We sometimes feel low and everything's against us and everything's wrong and oh dear. To contrast that with the eternal truths that God wants us to know and to tell other people about his amazing love and all he's done. Yes, we do fail him. Yes, we do give in to temptation sometimes. And no, we don't always obey him. And yet, the coming of Jesus made all the difference. So this is two verses. The first verse kind of starts dark and gets darker, and the second verse is on a rise. We see God's light growing brighter. This poem's called But Now. The human condition is hopeless and helpless. We stand before God without mask or pretense, each one of us guilty and sinful and speechless. No justification, excuse, or defense. No prospect of rescue. No date to release us. No flicker of hope and no glimmer of light. We're deep in the gloom as the darkness increases, stuck fast in our wretched and desperate plight. But now, in his mercy, God comes down and saves us. He knows there's no way we'll get ourselves free. By taking our sin that forever enslaves us and nailing it dead to the Golgotha tree. The night has been long and the journey relentless, but dawn is now breaking across the whole sky. His cross holds the promise of life that is endless. So praise our great Savior, exalted on high. So let's pray we stay focused on these eternal truths while living to the full the life that God wants us to live on earth. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this story of dry bones, of apparent hopelessness, and yet hope came out of it. Give us that fresh hope we need day by day to go on serving you. Maybe things are tough. Maybe we've lost loved ones. Maybe things aren't going well. Lord, reassure us. Remind us of our place in heaven. Give us fresh hope and strength to do the work you want done, work that only we can do. Bless us this week in all the contacts we make with people, all the things we do and say and think, that all may be focused on your kingdom, the growing of your kingdom here on earth. Lord, use us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.